here this evening will know that next Saturday something really important takes place. It's not that you go home to your mummies and daddies. No, lots of people have been waiting for next Saturday. Lots of people all over the world. I know some of the boys have been waiting for next Saturday, the beginning of another football season. Who will win? Will it be Arsenal with their new goalkeeper, Peter Cech? Will it be Chelsea with Falcao as their new striker? Will it be Liverpool with James Milner? Highly doubtful. Will it be Man City with Raheem Sterling on the bench? Will it be Man United with Schweinsteiger and Schneiderlin? We don't know. One thing we do know, a lot has changed over the summer. Players have changed clubs. In some cases, managers have changed. In lots of cases, strips have changed. Change, change, change. It's the same with so many things in life. People change, fashion changes, the shape and style of buildings change, music changes, everything around us changes, even the world around us. Rivers change shape over time, cliffs erode, fall into the sea, beaches change, mountains change. Change. So much change. This evening, we want to think about something that doesn't change. Something that lasts. I don't know about you, but with so many things changing, wearing away all around us, I want to build my life on something that lasts. I think most of us would share that desire. We don't want to build our lives on sand. We don't want to spend our lives chasing bubbles that burst as soon as you catch them. We want to build our lives on something durable, something strong, something that doesn't change. We want to build our lives on the everlasting, unchanging Word of God. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Or as the prophet Isaiah says in verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." We want to think especially about Isaiah's words this evening. Here in this congregation, over the course of this year, on the first week of every month, we've been looking at a scripture verse that has been on calendars that we give out to friends and family at the start of the year. And the verse for August is this verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." If you've ever read through Isaiah, chapter 40 is like a breath of fresh air. Up until this point in the book, most of it is God's judgment. Most of it is about the unfaithfulness of his people and their punishment that they deserve. But chapter 40 starts a new section. It's a new section of hope. It begins with the words, "Comfort, comfort my people." Total, total change in tone. The message is no longer judgment, but forgiveness. It's a message of peace and comfort. And in verses 6 to 8, the message is spelt out for us. What is God's message for his people? What is the message for you here this evening? What is it that God's word is saying to us? To any visiting with us, to those who are regular here, to the boys visiting with us, what is God's message this evening? Three things. Firstly, the grass withers. The grass withers. and there's no original headings for this evening's address. I'm just dividing up the verse in three parts. Firstly, the grass withers. We're probably in the most difficult part of the world to understand this imagery that Isaiah is using. Here, the grass hardly ever withers. Our climate is perfectly suited to growing lots of rich green grass. But I think we can understand something of this image, grass withering away. Growing up at home, we used to play so much cricket in our gardens in the summer. There was a strip in the garden of worn away grass. On a football pitch, you can easily picture this. The grass is often worn away where the goalkeeper stands. Usually there's no grass around that spot. Or maybe you can remember back to Wimbledon and how the grass wears away at the baseline of the courts. We're familiar with that kind of image, grass wearing away. But that isn't exactly what Isaiah is talking about here. He's thinking of how when he would get up in the morning and perhaps it has rained during the night, or perhaps there's this morning dew that's caused the grass to grow up fresh and green. But in the course of that very same day, Isaiah would see the sun coming and the scorching wind, and the grass wouldn't just be worn away, the grass would wither away. It would wilt, go yellowy brown in the space of a single day. Now, what's Isaiah talking about here? This isn't a lesson in agriculture or horticulture. What does he mean here? What does he mean by grass? Well, he tells us in verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, all flesh is grass, middle of the verse. Really, that just means all people. Men, women, boys, and girls. It's spelled out at the end of verse 7. Surely the people are grass. The Bible repeats this idea. Psalm 37, verse 2. They will soon fade like the grass, wither like the green herb. Or Psalm 103, verse 15. We sang it earlier. As for man, his days are like grass. We are like grass this evening. Grass, which God's word tells us, soon withers. Don't we know this in our experience? In this congregation, we are all a year older than we were 12 months ago. And in 12 months again, if we're spared, we will be a year older again. For some, this is quite exciting. For others, it's perhaps quite daunting. For some, every year brings extra challenges, extra pains, extra tablets. I know some of you boys this evening think that's a million light years away. But in a world of change, you will not be left out. And if you live to be old, you will no longer have the same energy you have now. You'll no longer be able to do the same things you do now, enjoy the same sports, play the same computer games. In Isaiah's day, there weren't special blades of grass that avoided the sun or the scorching wind. No such thing as artificial grass in Isaiah's day. All of us, if we live long enough, will over time wither like grass and eventually face the deterioration of our minds as well as our bodies. Grass withers. But Isaiah isn't just speaking here about people getting old. He is speaking about people dying. Grass withering away. According to the latest statistics, every day across the world, 150,000 people die every day. Boiled down, every second, it comes to two people every second. And so this evening, since you came into this building, over 4,000 people have breathed their last breath and died. Some have lived long lives, others short lives. Some have died sudden deaths, others have had a long lingering process. Some will be greatly missed, others will be hardly noticed. But either way, men, women, boys and girls are like grass that withers away. That's the first thing this evening. All flesh is like grass, and the grass withers. Secondly, the flower fades. The flower fades. And this is along similar lines to the grass withering. Isaiah is describing how, in the course of one single day, flowers would just fade away. In the morning, they would look so beautiful, so attractive, but come the afternoon, they would wilt and droop. And here the emphasis isn't so much on the length and quality of our lives. Rather, Isaiah is thinking here about the things in our lives that are attractive and exciting, the things in our lives that sparkle and glimmer, the things in our lives that look for our attention, the things people chase after. As he says in verse 6 again, he says, "All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field." And so the beautiful things of men and women, the glorious things, the things people take pride in, they quickly fade away. The flower fades. What sort of things might Isaiah be referring to? I think it can be as simple as our clothes, our gadgets, our abilities, our looks, our homes. The sort of things people chase after. The sort of things people take pride in. I wonder this evening if you're here and you're a proud person, proud of who you are, proud of what you have. You compare yourself to other people. Maybe some of the boys here at camp, you compare yourself to others, you think that you're better than them. You think maybe that because you've got the latest clothes, the latest phone, the latest shirt, you think you're of more value than others. I wonder if there's someone here this evening obsessed with following the lives of the rich and famous, someone who's consumed with their work, preoccupied with their hobbies, taken up even with their families or their pets. What does Isaiah tell us? What does he say about the attractive, glittering, beautiful flowers of our lives? They soon fade away. In the end, they don't last. In the end, they fade away just like everything else. It's worth asking the question, why? Why does the grass wither and why does the flower fade? Well, Isaiah tells us, verse 7, "The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it." Everything in this world withers and fades because the breath of the Lord blows on them. We shouldn't think that human beings and their treasures wither in and of themselves. We don't just run out of battery. We don't just run out of steam. No, Isaiah tells us that it's God who is the Lord and giver of life. He's also the Lord and giver of death. As Ecclesiastes 3 tells us, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Nothing and no one in this world is to be gloried in forever. And God will not share his glory with anyone or anything else. He will not allow anyone or anything to stand forever. And so individual people, people that the world regards as great, the great nations, the great buildings of this world, they all crumble and fall eventually, and it's all because of God. And I think each of us needs to ask ourselves seriously this evening, am I guilty of worshipping fading flowers? The things that blossom and flourish for just a little while, am I spending all my attention on those things? Am I spending my life chasing bubbles? God's word tells us this evening, the flower fades. The flower fades. The grass withers. The flower fades. But then thirdly, the word of God stands forever. The word of God stands forever. In total contrast to the withering grass and the fading flower, Isaiah describes the word of God. The verse reads, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Here in this congregation, we spent some months, some time back, looking at the book of Jeremiah. It's the very next book in the Bible. And there we're told how Jeremiah brought his scroll of God's word to the king of the day. And chapter 36 tells us, "The king was sitting in the winter house. There was a fire burning in the fire pot before him." So the king, he's cold. He's got a fire burning in front of him. Tragedy of tragedies. As Jeremiah's scroll is read to the king, every three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire. We can imagine the king saying, "I don't like that bit, Jeremiah. I don't like that bit. Read another bit. No, I don't like that bit." And on and on and on. And in spite of everyone around him pleading to stop, the king burns the word of God. And God's word is wiped out, or so the king thought. But listen to what happened. This is chapter 36 of Jeremiah 27 and 28. "After the king had burned the scroll, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, 'Take another scroll. Take another scroll, Jeremiah. Write it all out again.'" In other words, you can't destroy the word of God. You can't destroy the word of God. No king can do it. No teacher can do it. No celebrity can do it. It stands forever, Isaiah says. Here we are this evening, almost 2,000 years after this book has been finished, the Bible. And it's still here. We have it in our hands. Along the way, countless men and women and boys and girls and all of their treasures have withered and faded away. But not God's word. The word of God cannot be destroyed. And how many people have tried? No book has ever had so much opposition as this book. Now, people have laughed at it, scorned at it, burned it, ridiculed it. They've made all sorts of laws against it. But yet, through it all, it has survived. In the year 303, the Roman emperor ordered the burning of every scroll of God's word. But really, he couldn't destroy the word. For years, the Roman Catholic Church tried to bury the Word of God under superstition and tradition, and they prevented the common man from having it in his own language. They didn't want ordinary people to understand it, but they couldn't destroy and hide the Word of God. They burned as many of William Tyndale's English New Testaments as they could. And as he himself was being burned at the stake in 1536, little did he know that within 3 years of his death, the King of England would publish a Bible and order every church in the country to have a copy and to remain open for the ordinary people to come in and view it. You can't destroy this word. Critics have attacked it for hundreds of years. They haven't been able to destroy it in the slightest. The Word of God stands forever. Really, we don't judge God's Word. God's Word judges us. We don't condemn God's Word. Rather, God's Word condemns us. People around us, they don't damage God's Word. They damage themselves. They don't cut God's Word to pieces and take this bit and that bit. Really, they're cutting themselves off from life and light. It was exactly the same with the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? He's described in the Bible as the Word of God, the Word incarnate, really the Word of God in bodily form. How Satan must have thought he had wiped Jesus out. Satan must have thought for those days in the tomb that he had won, that he had defeated Jesus. 3 days later, he comes back to life. You can't destroy the Word of God. It stands forever. It stands forever. And therefore, and this is really important, therefore, what the Bible says, it says for all time. What it says about marriage, it says about marriage for all time. What it says about the beginning of life, it says about the beginning of life for all time. What it says about the end of life, it says about the end of life for all time. What it says about the nature of the church, it says for all time. It stands forever. How relevant this is today. People saying it's out of date and old-fashioned. The Word of God stands forever. I want to tell a story. I've told this congregation the story before. It's of a father and son visiting a town. It's in the days before cars. People used horses and carriages. Now, this little boy, he'd never left the farm before. And as he came into the town with his father, everything was so new and different. And as he walked down the street, he heard a loud clang, clang, clang. He said to his father, "What's that noise, Dad?" "Come and I'll show you," he said. And he took his son to the door of the blacksmith's shop. There the boy saw a huge man lifting a great heavy hammer high in the air and then crashing it down on a glowing piece of metal on top of an anvil. And for the boys this evening, you may not know what an anvil is. I did print off a picture of an anvil, just in case some of you might not know. This is something of what an anvil was like. A blacksmith hammering down on a piece of metal like this. Hammering, hammering, hammering on the anvil. And he hit the anvil so hard that sparks flew with every blow. And the father explained to the son, "This is the blacksmith. He made all kinds of metal pieces for wagons and carriages, horseshoes for horses." And the little boy's attention, it was fixed on two things: the long, heavy hammer and the great metal anvil. They met each other with such a loud sound, such a force, that he thought, surely this anvil will not last much longer. And the big, strong blacksmith paused for a moment to catch his breath. He saw the boy standing in the doorway. "Aren't you going to break that thing?" the boy asked, pointing to the anvil. The blacksmith smiled. He pointed to a pile of worn-out hammers in the corner. And he said, "This anvil is 100 years old. It has worn out many hammers. This anvil has worn out many hammers." And friends, the Bible is an anvil that has worn out thousands of hammers. In every generation, there are new and shiny hammers brought against the truth of God's word. And strong, strong men lift their hammers and they pound on the scriptures. And like that little boy, we're tempted to point and say, surely the Bible will be destroyed now. No, no, no. Let us remember this Bible was forged in the furnace of divine truth. It has worn out many hammers. The Word of God stands forever. How wonderful to have it. How wonderful to believe it. How wonderful to rest on it. In this book, God speaks. In this book, we hear His voice. In this book, we're told of the message of His Son, the Lord Jesus. In this book, we can find forgiveness and everlasting life. You want to build your life on something that lasts? Build your life on the Word of God. Build your life on Jesus Christ. In an ever-changing world, build your life on a never, never changing word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen.